Shore of the Sea of Galilee, about 3 miles from Capernaum. She was said to have had seven demons cast out of her. The gospel writers don't tell us what those demons were, and the church down through the ages has made all kinds of assumptions and perhaps some legends that have been built around that. We'll come to those in a moment. But as a consequence of her having been cleansed by Christ, she showed complete devotion by following him as a disciple. You think of the disciples as being just the 12 that hung around with Jesus, but there were literally hundreds of followers, hundreds of disciples that followed Jesus Christ. And Mary Magdalene was one of the women disciples. And the women disciples, in fact, used much of their wealth to provide for Jesus and his 12 apostles. They supported them in their ministry. So Mary Magdalene was one of the supporters. She was also listed in all of the Gospels as the first of all the women. In the scriptural references to the women, she is named first. And one can assume from that that she occupied the place within the women disciples that Peter occupied in amongst the apostles, the first and therefore the head. Now the interesting thing about the word Magdalene is that it means tower or height or stature. And so it was often assumed that Mary the Magdalene occupied a place of great stature and leadership within those who followed Jesus Christ. But her appearance in Scripture isn't just restricted to the references to her having been healed of the seven demons. She also was there at three pivotal moments in the last days of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection. She was there at the time of the crucifixion. Matthew, Mark, and John all make reference to her specifically being there at the foot of the cross. Luke refers to a group of women, but doesn't define who they were until much later. But she was there at the foot of the cross. Well, many of Jesus' own followers had fled for fear of what might happen to them. But the women were there, and Mary Magdalene was chief amongst those women, and she was there devoted to her Savior, who is giving up his life for all of humanity. The scriptures tell us that she was amongst the last to leave the cross after he had died. So she was there through the whole journey of his passion. She also was there at the tomb. She and, quote, the other Mary followed Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea for the burial of Jesus. So they knew where he was interred. They knew where the sepulcher was. And finally, they came to the tomb on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene was there. In Matthew and Mark, she was there, they said, along with one or two other women who had brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus for burial. But as we heard in today's gospel reading, John the Evangelist had her there by herself. She was there as, understandably, the most devoted of all of the women who followed Jesus. And when she found the tomb empty, she was brokenhearted. Not because of her resurrection, but she feared that his body had been stolen by grave robbers. And when she went to, first of all, to the apostles to tell them what had happened, her words were that they have taken him out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him. And so Peter and themselves, which he would not necessarily have been recognized immediately by her. And so he said to her from behind, "Woman, what are you looking for? Why are you weeping?" And of course, in the midst of all of her sorrow, she blurted out, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." And with that, he no longer calls her woman. He calls her by the name that he called her when she traveled with him before his crucifixion. He said, "Mary." And she knew that she was recognized by the one for whom she was looking. And she turns around and says, "Rabboni! It's you!" And he said, "Don't touch me. But I am giving you a mission. Now, you are to go to the apostles and tell them what you have seen. You are to give apostolic word to them." See, an apostle in those days was someone who had, in fact, witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He had traveled with him, but also had witnessed his resurrection. They were the leaders in the early church and were giving first-hand testimony. And Mary was, in fact, the first of the apostles. In fact, the church came to regard her as the apostle to the apostles, because she gave witness to them of what had happened, what she had seen. And she was filled with joy when she got to them and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she shared with them everything that he had said to her. She was there. She was there through the most pivotal times in Jesus Christ's life and death and resurrection. So how does the church come to recognize Mary Magdalene? Well, four of the major churches have canonized her. She's a saint. The Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox, the Anglican and the Lutheran churches have made her a saint. Other Protestant churches have referred to her as a champion of hope, one of the great witnesses, but they have not called her a saint. We do. She is a saint because through her, the light of the Son of God shines. However, in the Middle Ages, there was a movement to try to blend Mary Magdalene's life with that portrayed in certain parts of the Gospels. And one of the parts was the anointing of Jesus' feet by a woman who was considered to be a sinner. This is Luke's rendering of the story of this woman visiting Jesus when he was a guest in the home of Simon the Pharisee. And when she anointed his feet with ointment and with her tears, she poured out all of her sins before Jesus. And Jesus healed her and forgave her. And many of the middle-aged churches thought that this was Mary Magdalene. However, there is no canonical authenticity to this, but it is more of an assumption. Or an assumption. It could be that it was her, but it doesn't say that specifically in Scripture. In the Western Church during the Middle Ages, Mary Magdalene was referred to as a repentant prostitute. Some of them said she was a promiscuous woman. But again, there is no evidence that that was true, not from the four canonical Gospels. Was simply an assumption, but it is an assumption that was in fact elaborated by Pope Gregory the Great in 591 CE or AD, whatever it is. He referred to her as, in And so the church became split over who Mary Magdalene really was, whether they were prepared to go with some of these assumptions, or whether they were to go with what was written in Holy Scripture. There were even other legends that were built around Mary Magdalene. In the Eastern Church, Mary was said to have gone with John the Evangelist to Ephesus, where she eventually died, and her body was taken to Constantinople. But again, there's no evidence that that was true. Another legend was built in the Western Church, where Mary was assumed to have traveled with Martha and Lazarus to Bethany by sea to the south of France, where she died, and her body entombed in Aix-en-Provence in southern France. But again, this is just speculation. We have before us what is really a relatively small portion of Scripture, but a very dynamic portion of Scripture around who Mary Magdalene is and was. And so for us today, we need to look at how does Mary Magdalene, how does God, through Mary, help to shape our faith and our mission and ministry. And I'd like to suggest four ways. The first is through her devotion. That wonderfully poignant scripture reading from John's Gospel speaks volumes about her devotion to Christ. She loved her Lord. Some legendary people within the church have suggested that that was a very intimate love. Whether it was or not, it was a very deep love, because it was a love that had come out of being rescued from a life that was broken. Jesus called her back to wholeness through removing all of the demons from her life. And she in turn felt whole and devoted to Him. It gives us pause to think about what Jesus has done for us. How has He restored us to wholeness? What happens every time we come to worship and bring before the cross of Jesus Christ all of our sins, all of our brokenness, all of our hopelessness? And how, in leaving those things before the cross and receiving the restoring food of God, how do we go from here and demonstrate a life that is truly devoted to Jesus Christ, who has saved us? It's the first thing. The second is how Mary demonstrated her love for Jesus Christ. She, along with the other women, gave of her treasure to support Jesus and the apostles, and would have given quite liberally. And here we have an example of how giving is not a matter of in order to get, but giving is releasing to God. Giving as a response to all that God has given us. Well, in this holy meal today, God gives us a gift. We think, and we do, put on the table here a token of our lives. We give an offering, but God gives us an offering as well. God gives us God's very best in Jesus Christ. God didn't hold back. God gave us the best. And we in turn are invited to give God our best. That's what Mary Magdalene did. She gave of her best to Jesus. There's another area that we can think about in our lives, and that is the call to persevere in our faith. When we think of Mary at the tomb, not giving up on trying to find where the body of her Savior was. Even after the two apostles had come and left, she was there. She was broken, she wept, but she wanted. persevere in our faith? When the times get really difficult for us, do we persevere and stand in there and continue faithfully, sometimes on our own, knowing that the direction we're moving is towards Jesus Christ? And finally, Mary's call by Jesus to go and announce the good news, not just to all and sundry, but specifically to the apostles, was a very sacred trust. It was an apostolic trust. Well, that trust has been given to the whole church to take that message to a world that is hungry, that is broken, that needs good news. Not temporary good news, but really good news that breaks right into the heart and soul, that salves the wounds that are deep. Are we prepared to take the good news that's given to us in Jesus Christ, the resurrected, ascended Savior? Are we prepared to take that and announce that to others? Not in a way that overpowers and demeans others, but that brings life and salving of wounds. This is what Mary engaged in when she followed Jesus Christ's call. That is what we are called to do. So on this patronal festival, this festival of St. Mary Magdalene, one of the great saints of the Church,